Today's class is in memory of Azat Sara Bas Agajan. Shamshirav and Aliyah. Okay, we're going to start. We're starting tonight Parshas Nasi. Last week we finished Parshas, but midway on 748. I'm sorry to tell you, you got two more company here. 748. Okay, at the end of last week's Parsha, we were learning about counting the Levium. After they finished counting all the Jews, they counted the Levium. They divided the Levium into three families, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The Levium were counted from a month old. All the Jews were counted from 20 years old. But we're in the middle of learning about a special count of the Levium from the age of 30 to 50, because those are the ones that actually worked in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. And we discussed at 25, they went in for 5 years of training, and at the age of 30, they started doing the various different jobs. Last week we learned the job of Kohos. The job of Kohos was to carry Aaron and his children came in, covered all the ark and all the other holy utensils, and then Kohos carried it. And the people from Gershon carried the curtains of the Mishkan. As we'll soon learn, the menorah you counted to carry the boards of the Mishkan. Okay, so it says like this: Nasi Yisraish b'nei Gershon gamhem. You should count the head of Gershon also. Gamhem. We'll soon see what that means. Levesa vesem lemishpachesam, to the house of their fathers. Like we learned, whether you're a Kohen or a Levi or a Yisrael, which tribe you belong to that came from the father. If the father was from Reuven, you were from Reuven. If the father was a Kohen, you were a Kohen. So it says you have to count also the B'nai Gershon, because last time we learned to get counted Kohos. Now, why does the Torah use the expression Gamheim, also them? Should say count the people from Gershon. Because even though Gershon was older, but Kohos were the ones that were holier. Number one, Moshe and Aaron came from Kohos. And secondly, they were given the holier jobs of the Mishkan. They carried the holier things of the Mishkan. So here the Torah says, you should also count B'nai Gershon, because he was the firstborn of Kohos. So even though, Levi. So even though Kohos was holier, because they carried holier things, but you also have to give credit to the firstborn. Now the commentaries ask over here a very simple question. If Gershon, Kohos, and Merari, Gershon was the oldest, then came Kohos, then Merari. Now we know in Torah, a firstborn has a certain greatness that the other children don't have. The fact that they're a firstborn. Therefore they get double inheritance, and until the golden calf, they were the ones working in the Mishkan. A firstborn, the fact that they're firstborn, shows there's a certain greatness that they have that the other children don't have. So the question is, if Gershon was firstborn, why weren't they holier? Why was Kohos holier, and therefore they were given the more important roles of the Mishkan? God could have made, so to speak, that Moshe should come out of Gershon, or at least make Kohos the firstborn. Why did he, it's like, he makes Gershon the firstborn, which itself is a uniqueness, and then he says, but Kohos is holier. Make the firstborn holy, and there wouldn't be any problem. So the Kli Yakar answers a very beautiful answer, a very interesting answer. Kohos, Moshe, Aaron, carrying the Ark and all those, that represents Torah. The study of Torah. The Torah is teaching us, and in fact we learned last time we discussed, Gershon represents mitzvahs. And we'll see later, soon tonight, what Merari represents. It's a whole different story. Kohos represents Moshe Aaron carrying the Ark, represents study Torah. The coverings of the Mishkan that Gershon carried, that represents the encompassing levels, but not going into it now, that represents mitzvahs. The Torah wants to teach us that when it comes to studying Torah, you don't have to be the firstborn. You don't need to be the greatest. You need to be able to study Torah. Everybody, it's open for everybody. In other words, Kli Yakar explains, if God would have given the greatness of both things to Gershon, people will think, okay, who has the ability to study Torah? If you're the firstborn and you're the greatest, you are the holy elite. You are the ones that are able to study. But anybody else, any Tom, Dick, and Harry? No. So the Torah says, no, I'm not, I'm separating the two. Gershon, Gamheim, also them, they're also holy, they're the firstborn, they're very great. But the bottom line is, Torah is available for everybody. And therefore, Kohos got the Torah, even though they weren't the firstborn. But
he said for Gershon, it's mitzvah.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't the same theory apply, that since he got mitzvahs, that they would think that those were, mitzvahs were only for the firstborn?
Because in Judaism, you have a lot of Jews that observe mitzvahs, and then you have the elite scholars.
Okay.
The scholars are always like the elite. The simple Jews do mitzvahs better than the scholars do. Especially, you know, in the olden times. But the concept is everybody. The Gemara has an expression. Afilu Peshi Yisrael. Even the Jewish rebels are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Afilu Peshi Yisrael. Malaya mitzvahs Kerimen are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. And there's, by the way, while we're on this topic, it's just a beautiful story. I mentioned it a few times in Shul. It's a very beautiful story with the Rebbe. Somebody was, it's a big rabbi, a very great rabbi, once came into the Rebbe, and for an audience, and the Rebbe said, no, say some Torah, say something. So the guy said to the Rebbe, you know, I was always bothered by this Gemara. The Gemara says that even the Jewish sinner, Peshi Yisrael, even the rebellious Jews, are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. So the guy says, I don't understand. How could a sinner be full of mitzvahs? I don't understand that. How could a sinner be full of mitzvahs? So the Rebbe looks at him and says, it's interesting. I also don't understand the Gemara. I don't understand if they're full of mitzvahs, how could they be sinners? In other words, mamash the opposite. This guy says, if they're sinners, how can they be full of mitzvahs? So the Rebbe said, if they're full of mitzvahs, how can they be sinners? That's what he doesn't understand. But the bottom line is, when it comes to mitzvahs, that's for sure everybody's equal. The unity of Jewish people is not in learning. In learning, everybody's on a different level. But every woman lights candles the same way. Every man puts on tefillin the same way. Every woman separates challah the same way. Those mitzvahs basically equalize the people together. Everybody does the same.
Is that because they're already articulated throughout the Torah?
Because mitzvahs come from a level that equalizes all Jews.
No, what I'm saying, when you're looking at the concept of Gershon and being the firstborn and doing mitzvahs, okay, if it wasn't articulated in the Torah, or what Moshe was saying, that do the mitzvahs, everybody do the mitzvahs, then wouldn't it then possibly be perceived the same way as learning?
No, because learning, you know, everybody's learning differently. Like we learned many times, on Simchas Torah, you finish the Torah, you start the Torah, right? What should be the proper protocol? Everybody should sit down and study, like Shavuos night. Right, you stay up the whole night and study. Nobody learns on Simchas Torah. Okay? What do? You dance with the Torah. Now, you dance with a closed Torah. Why are we dancing with a closed Torah? We should sit down. We finished the Torah. We're starting it. We should sit down and learn. The answer is because we want to show that when it comes to the acquiring of Torah, the ownership of Torah, every Jew is the same. And if every Jew would sit down and study Torah, no two Jews would be on the same level. There wouldn't be unity amongst the Jews. Mitzvahs unite the Jews because every Jew is doing the same mitzvah. Learning is a different story. So therefore the Klei Yochur explains that the Torah says, Kohos is not the firstborn, but they could acquire Torah. Everybody, it's open to everybody. Okay. Miben Shleishim Shana, from the age of 30, and by the way, there's an interesting thing which is pointed out over here, that before, when Hashem was counting the people from Kohos, It says over there, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe el Aaron leimer. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Here, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimer. What happened to Aaron? So the Aruch Chaim explains, because by Kohos, Aaron had a job over there. Remember we learned Aaron and his kids covered everything, and then the people from Kohos carried it. Here, Aaron and his kids did nothing, because this wasn't that holy, so Gershon packed up the curtains and carried the curtains. But over there, Aaron and his kids were involved in packing it up. So therefore, over there it says, El Moshe V'El Aaron. Here it's not relevant. Aaron is not relevant at all. So it says, only Hashem spoke to Moshe. Okay, what did he tell him? He benched Leishim Shana V'Mailavam Ben Chemishim Shana, from 30 years and up to 50, Tifket Esam, Kolabol Litzvei Tzava, whoever comes, Litzvei Tzava, to come to join the legion, like an army Tzava. This is God's army of the Mishkan, not God's army to fight wars, but God's army in the Mishkan. Laved Aveda Ba'il Mayid, to work Aveda in the Oil Mayid. Now, there's a bunch of double expressions. Litzvei Tzava. Okay? Because this is multitasked. In other words, they had to carry the curtains and they had to carry other things besides the curtains. In addition to this, they were different. Part of this service in the Mishkan was singing also. It wasn't only carrying. They would sing also. So that's what it says, Laved Aveda, it explains. Laved Aveda is because it's a double Aveda. It's to sing and to do something else. Or, there was also another job that the Levium did in the Beis HaMikdash. For instance, slaughtering the sacrifices, to slaughter a korban, did not have to be done through a kohen. Okay, we learned in Vayikra, it says, Yeshech the korban, and then the kohenim received the blood. That means the shechita, the slaughtering of the korban, the Beis HaMikdash, did not have to be necessarily done through a kohen. Who did it? The Levim could have done it also. So this is Laved Aveda Litzvei Tzava, the double expression, because there are multitasks that the Levim actually did in the Beis HaMikdash, besides all these things carrying and doing various different things.
Why they say Oel Moed? Because they can use their days, they cannot do that?
No, Oel Moed is a general term of where they carry the Mishkan. The Oel Moed refers to all the things. Okay. Then, okay, so now the Malbim adds to this, what we just said. Kolabol Litzvei Tzava only says the word by Gershon. The double expression, Litzvei Tzava. By Kohos and Merari, it just says, Kolabol Atzava. So it says, why? So he says like this, because Gershon was the firstborn, so they were like following him in that respect. So it's Litzvei Tzava. And he says, Aveda refers to singing and watching and carrying and everything. Okay. Then the Torah says like this. Seis aveidas mishpacheis ha-gershuni. This is the job of the Gershon family. Laveid to work ulamasa. What is laveid ulamasa? Meaning preparing the parks of the Mishkan to move and then the actual carrying of them. Because by Kohos, the Kohanim packed the stuff. So they just watched. They didn't pack. So over there the Torah says to carry. Here, both. The Gershon did both things. They packed up the curtains and they carried the curtains. V'nasu, what did they carry? As Yiriyas HaMishkan, the curtains of the Mishkan, V'as'el Mayed, and the meeting tent, Michseu, its cover, V'as Michsei HaTachash, Yesha'ol of Momayla, the Tachash cover that was up from above, V'as Masach Pesach El Mayed, and the curtain and the screen at the front of the oil maid. Meaning like this. In the Mishkan we learned, you had the boards. And on top of the boards were three levels of curtains. So these are the three various levels of curtains that Torah is saying that the Gershon guys get. So they had to take them off. pack them up, so to speak, and then put them onto the wagons to carry.
One of the curtain is covering the...
The oil maid, yes. And the lace hangings of the courtyard. And the screen at the entrance at the gate of the courtyard. Which was on the Mishkan and the courtyard around it. The ropes. Anything was used in that type of work in the Mishkan. Anything that was made for them, they should serve. This refers to all the accessories, like pegs, tables, ropes, hooks, you know, any of the instruments they carried. Musical instruments they carried. The Leviim had harps. They had a lot of different instruments that they used to sing. Huh? Flutes, tambourines. I mean, they had a lot of different types of instruments they played in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. So they carried all these instruments. Based on Aaron's appointing, all the aved of the Gershuni, for all their carryings. In other words, Aaron HaKoyin gave out the jobs. But the Mefarsh of the Medrash says like this, by Kohos, remember one guy carried the Aaron, I mean some, not one guy, you couldn't carry it yourself. One guy, some guys carried the Aaron, some guys carried the menorah, some guys carried the Shulchan. There was no regular jobs. Aaron and his kids said, okay, today, this trip, you're carrying the Aaron, you're carrying the Shulchan, you're going to carry the menorah, you're going to carry the Mizbeach. Everybody had different jobs. These jobs, the Mefarshim explained, the same people had the same jobs always. If you carried the instruments, you carried the instruments. You carried this curtain, you carried this curtain. There was no changing. Yeah. And Merari family. And Merari family also. There were no, once you were given a job, permanent job. When you died, your kids took it over. You know, or the family took it over. We'll see about carrying the boys is very interesting. This was the work of the family of the sons of Gershon in the Oil Maid. Who was in charge of them, even though it said before Aaron HaKoyin, but who was individually in charge of them? Biad Isamer ben Aaron HaKoyin. Elazar was in charge of Kohos, and Itamar, the other son of Aaron, the younger son, he was in charge of Gershon's kids. Okay? If you remember, we learned at the beginning of all this, Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. Okay, the three sons represent three services of God. And I'm saying it now again because it's relevant for what we're going to start now. The Rambam says that not only the tribe of Levi did God choose to serve him, but the Rambam uses the expression kol ish asher nadva ruchai, any Jew who donates of himself to serve God is considered part of the Levi. In other words, there's a physical Levi in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. But then the Rambam says, in a spiritual sense, every Jew could be a Levi. What does Levi mean? Okay, so if you look in Chumash, when Leah named Levi, you know, in Vayetze, when Leah named Levi, she said, "Hapam yilove ishi elai. Now my husband will accompany me. He'll be connected to me." No, God forbid, a funeral is called levaya, because levaya means you're accompanying the body. That's what a levaya means. Levaya means actually accompanying. Levaya, the Gemara says, when you have a guest, you have to feed him and clothe him, and then the mitzvah is yilove. Levaya, you have to accompany him out. You know, out the door. Make sure they leave. And they don't come back. No, that's what it says. They say in last week's Parsha, Yisra, his father-in-law came to visit Moshe. He was a good guest. He came and he left. He didn't stay. Anyway, so Levi represents a Jew's connection to God. Okay, I don't want to go off topic now, but each one of the 12 tribes represent a different way of serving God. Okay? Reuven comes to the word re'iyah, to see. Shimon comes to the word shama, to hear. Levi is accompaniment. Yehuda is submission. Hoda'ah. Okay, you can go through all the children of Yaakov, the 12 tribes, represent a different way of serving God. Okay? Levi, I mean, every Jew has a Reuven in them, and a Shimon in them, and a Levi, spiritually. Levi in them. Now, Levi represents becoming connected to God. I'm talking about now a spiritual sense. Therefore, Levi had three kids. Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. Okay? Gershon was the oldest, Kahas second, and Merari was first. So last time we mentioned, or 2 times ago we mentioned, 3 times ago maybe, that when Kahas, if Kahas was greater, why was Gershon the firstborn? So today we said to show that Torah is open for everybody. But why in the chronological order of the kids did God make Gershon first, and then Kohos, and then Merari? If Kohos was greater, he should have been the firstborn, chronologically. So Chassidus explains that Gershon comes from the word Gerusha, to divorce. Kohos, later on in Chumash, there's an expression, V'loi unto him, Yikas Amim, nations will gather. Okay? The Torah is teaching us like this. You want to, and I'm saying this again because the next psukim we need to understand this. You want to become close to God, the first thing you need to do is divorce yourself from evil things. Divorce yourself from evil things. You can't be connected to holiness if you're in dirt. Yeah? It's like the analogy the Gemara gives, Tovel v'sheretz b'yodei. You became impure because you touched something, a dead bug. So you're in the mikvah holding the dead bug. How in the world can you become pure if you're holding on to the impurity? How do you expect to become pure? So the first thing a Jew needs to do, if you want to be a Levi, you want to become close to Hashem, the first thing you need to do is Gershon. That's why Gershon is the oldest. Because what's the first thing you need to do? Divorce yourself from worldly things. Or to use the Pasuk's expression, Sur Meira. Turn away from evil. What does the Pasuk say afterwards? Asay Tov. And tell him that we say every Shabbos morning in Davening. Asay Tov means to do a lot of good things. What does Kahas mean? To him, nations gather. The second level is to gather a lot of positive mitzvahs. Number one, don't do evil. Divorce yourself from forbidden things that the Torah says no. Then the Torah says, now you need to gather a lot of mitzvahs, asay tov. And then you come to Merari. Merari, is the root of the word is mar, bitter. Merirus is a person feeling embittered, that he's not yet at the level they can reach. There's two terms in Hebrew. One is good and one is bad. Atzvus is sadness and depression. That is anti-Torah. Okay? Merirus is a bitterness that leads to joy. Okay? Lev nishpe v'nitke, a broken heart. And right away the Torah says, Tashmiyeni sasin v'simcha. A broken heart doesn't mean you're depressed. A broken heart means that you realize, I'm not full, I'm not complete, right? I'm incomplete, and therefore have a goal to reach, and I could reach it. That is the definition of merirus. And the third level of Gershon Kahas, now it comes to the level of merari. Merari means the embitterment that now I realize that I can attain and reach a higher level than I have now. That is a positive, not depression, which is atzvus, because there's a famous Hasidic expression from Baron Kalinar. The Baron Kalinar said, there's something which is not a mitzvah, but the level this thing could get you to, no other mitzvah can get you to. And then he says, there's something which is not a sin, but the low level that this can get you to, no other sin can get you to. And he said like this, mikveh for a man is not a mitzvah. For a woman it's a mitzvah, but for a man it's not a mitzvah. Nevertheless, the purity level that a mikveh can reach, no other mitzvah can get you. And he says, sadness is not a sin. There's no sin in the Torah to be sad. But he said, the low level that sadness can get a person to, no other sin can get you to. Meridus is not sadness and depression. Meridus in Yiddish, nobody knew you guys speak Yiddish.
It's gro or
something. In Yiddish there's an expression, Nishto as a ganzer via zerbrochener. There's nothing as complete as a broken heart. There's nothing as complete as a broken heart. Because when a person is full of themselves, they're not going to grow. They're not going to do anything. It's not going to stimulate them. I'm great. I'm God himself. Or greater than God. And that's it. A person with a broken heart doesn't mean depressed. It means you realize that there's so much more to do. That's the merari. And that's why if you see the next pasuk, we see an interesting thing. B'nei merari. Okay. L'mishpuchesem l'veisaveisem tivkedesem. It's interesting. By kohos, the Torah says, Nosai Esreish B'nei Kohos. Count the people of Kohos. By Gershon, with the first pasuk in the Pasha, Nosai Esreish B'nei Gershon. Right? Lift up the head of Gershon. By Merari, it doesn't say Nosai Esreish B'nei Merari. It just says B'nei Merari. It doesn't say Nosai Esreish B'nei Merari. It just says B'nei Merari. Okay? So the Rebbe explains in Asicha, why by Merari, so simply the Mefarshim explain, it's so funny the way there's things in Torah that you look negatively, and then Chassidus comes around, turns it around, and makes it
big positive.
Not regular positive, big positive. The commentaries explain, why doesn't it say Nosei Esreish B'nei Merari? Why doesn't the Torah say count the head of Merari? It just says the children of Merari. Because Nosei not only means count, Nasi means to elevate. Nasi means to pick up in Hebrew. So it means to count, but counting is the word tifkeid. Pekeid also means to count. The Torah doesn't say pekeid. The Torah says nasi yisraish. We learned already in the past. Nasi means to elevate the head. Make it go to a higher level. Okay? We said before, Geshen represents mitzvahs. That's why they carried the curtains. By mitzvahs, the Torah says you have to become better. You have to elevate it. You have to become better. Kohas represents learning Torah. The Torah says, Nosei Esreish B'nei Kohas. You have to elevate the head. Meaning, you have to reach a higher level. What does it mean reaching a higher level? The head is the highest faculty of the person. Right? The head symbolizes intellect, understanding, all that stuff. The Torah says, you think you could be a great mitzvah observer? You can always do it better. You're learning Torah, you think you're brilliant? You could really do it better. Merari, as we explained, means meridus, this embitterment. There's nothing to elevate it. It's the ultimate. The ultimate level is Merari. There's nowhere to go. So even though Merari from one side is the lowest, they only carry the boards, and the Torah doesn't say elevate them, and the Torah doesn't make a whole commotion about them. But Dafka, because they're the lowest level, they can accomplish more than Gershon and Kohos. And therefore they carried the actual entire Mishkan, the boards of the Mishkan they carried. Because the lowest level is really the holding of the highest of levels. And just to give a few physical examples of this, the earth, the ground, is the lowest thing. It's stepped on, it's trampled on, nobody gives it any respect. Yeah? Yet, all the food that we have comes from the ground. Even if you're eating meat, where do the animals get feed from? They also get fed from the ground. Everything comes from the ground. So from one side, the ground is the lowest. Right? From the opposite side, it's the greatest. And it's both interconnected. Because it's the lowest, it comes from the highest. So Gershon and Kohos, they represent the learning of Torah and observance of mitzvahs. Over there, the Torah says, Nasa Yisraish, you need to pick them up. You need to elevate it. It needs to go to a higher level. What's the higher level than the head? The head is the epitome of everything. Where does the head go? So we learned the head, the intellect of the person, goes to God. Okay, what does that mean, it goes to God? You study Torah, what bracha do we say? Baruch atah Hashem, Naisei na Torah. That it's God's Torah. God gave us the Torah. It's not my understanding. Like we learned many times, people are under the impression, if I understand it, it's right. If it doesn't make sense to me, it's wrong. That's the people's attitude. And even in Yiddishkeit, people say, this mitzvah doesn't make sense, it's ridiculous, it's stupid, I'm not keeping it. That's the first sign of stupidity. But why is it? We're not talking about human wisdom here. We're talking about God's wisdom. If it's God's wisdom, the question is not why we don't understand. Of course he can't understand. It's God's wisdom. How can he understand God's wisdom? The question is, how do we think we understand anything we do think we understand? That's the question. But not why we don't understand. So what does it mean picking up the head of Kahus? Picking up the head of Kahus means you're studying Torah. Pick up your head and realize that whatever you understand is nothing. Because it's God's wisdom, it's impossible for you to understand. God, in his infinite kindness and generosity, says, you know what? I'm allowing you to understand it on your level. But the truth is, you don't understand anything. Because it's God's wisdom. You do a mitzvah. Why do we do a mitzvah? Because Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. We don't do mitzvahs because I understand them. We do mitzvahs because God told us to do it. So what does it mean picking up the head of Gershon? Picking up the head of Gershon means you're carrying the curtains, you're doing the mitzvahs, that's the mitzvah aspect. Do it not because you understand it. Do it because God told us to do it. And therefore, even the mitzvahs that we do understand, Chassidus says, you don't do them because we understand it's right. We do them because God said at Mount Sinai to do it. And what better example do you have from last week's parsha? Okay? Look at the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, completely logical. Don't steal, completely logical. Don't kill, completely logical. Don't commit adultery, very logical. Don't covet, don't desire, very logical. Yeah? That's what the Ten Commandments are. The uniqueness of the Ten Commandments, the Torah is telling us, is a remarkable thing. The Torah says, I want you to honor your father and mother, not because it's right, because of your understanding. You need to honor your father and mother because I am God, your God, that said you have to honor your father and mother. I am God, your God, who says don't steal and don't kill and don't do all the other things. What's the difference? We learned many, many times. If I honor my father and mother because I understand, then sometimes you're not going to do it. Then you're not going to do it. If your parents abuse you, if your parents threw you out into the streets and you were adopted by somebody else, all these things. Yeah? We don't honor our father and mother because, you know, they got up at night for us and they suffer with us and they take care of us and they go crazy from us. especially when you become teenagers, right? Listen carefully. The Torah says, that's not why you honor your father or mother. Because if that's why you honor your father or mother, if your parents didn't do that for you, then I don't need to honor them. The Torah says, no. You honor your father and mother because I said so. Whether you understand it or not. You don't steal, not because it's morally wrong to steal. God says, you don't steal because I said you don't steal. And therefore, even when your logic, your seichel dictates that it's okay to steal, you still don't steal. And that's what's called elevating the head of Gershon, meaning do mitzvahs, because God said so. Pick up the head to higher than intellect, to a level of godliness, and do it because God said so. When it comes to merari, that represents acceptance of the yoke, this bitterness, and do so there's no intellect, there's no observance of mitzvahs because I understand it. So by merari, it's not necessary to say pick them up, because they're already high. There's no purpose of elevating somebody that's already high. The more, it's a very weird statement, but this is, it's the truth. The less you are, the more you are. The more you are, the less you are. Meaning, the more full you are of yourself, then there's less room for God. The Gemara has an expression, Keli Molei Eina Machzik. Klei Reikon Machzik. The Gemara says, an empty vessel, you could put stuff into. A vessel that's full, lot full. You can't put anything into it. So it says, that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara does, it's so funny, the Gemara says, the Gemara is a brilliant book. The Gemara says, by the way, I want you to know, if it's an empty vessel, you can put something into it. If it's full, you can't. I mean, I need the Talmud to tell me that. Every moron knows that. I mean, I don't need a Gemara to say just a simple statement that if a vessel is empty, you can put something into it, and if it's full, you can't. I mean, thank you. I mean, like, it's brilliant. The Talmud is saying a profound statement. If you're full of yourself, then you can't put, there's no room for God. If you're empty, meaning you have humility, and you're like merari, yep, then you can have place for God. And the more God you have in you, the more real existence you are. Because God is the true existence. And therefore these three people, Gershon, Kos, and Merari, the Torah is using different expressions by each one, because each one is a different way of serving God. Okay, let's see it now inside. B'nei Merari, the Mishpuchesim, the Vesa Vesim, Tivkei Resim, Yiven Shleishim Shona V'mayla, from the age of 30, Ad Ben Chamishim Shona Tivkei Resim, you should count them. Kol Abol Atzova, whoever comes to the army, and here it's only one thing to carry the boards, La'avayt Es Aveid Es Oel Mayit, to do the work in the Oel Mayit. Now what was their work? V'zeitz Mishmeres Mashsom, this was the guard, the job of their work in an Oel Mayit. Karshei HaMishkan, the boards of the Mishkan, Ubrichov, and the pillars, Ba'amudov, and its bars and its pillars, Ba'adonov, and its sockets. The board we learned, when we learned this, there were sockets at the bottom, right? Indented sockets that the boards were put into. Then there were three boards, poles, bars, that held the walls together, and then the middle one that went around that held all the... So this was the job of Merari. There's a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, and they learned it out from various different psukim, that the boards of the Mishkan, the same boards, always had to be in the same place. Let's say the Mishkan, right, we had 20 boards in the length, we learned, right? And each board was an arm and a half, 1.5 cubits. The first board always had to be the first board. The second always had to be the second, the third on this wall, then on this wall, and on this wall. All the boards had to be in the exact same place every time. Why? So how did they do it? The boards actually had numbers on them. It was like, if this was a board, so on this side it said, and this was the first board, here it said Aleph Aleph, here it says Aleph Beis. Okay? 1A and 1B. Yeah? The next board was Beis Aleph and Beis Beis. So they always knew, when they put up the Mishkan, number one, they knew which one's upside, not upside down. Okay, because the boards were identical. They could have put them one day like this, one day like this. So the boards were labeled on top. And here was Aleph Aleph, that means 1A. Here was 1B, 2A, 2B, you know. So they knew that the 1B went next to the 1, went next to the 2A. And all the boards were exactly lined up in the same exact way. There's an opinion in halacha, you should do it by a sukkah also, but nobody does it. Sukkah should be the same way. So they had to figure out, the boards were all labeled, and when they took it down, they had to put it down in an order, you know, that when they put it up, it's accessible in the proper order. What?
It's like a Pesach kitchen.
Wrong,
two boards. Same board all
times. Same boards all times. But the Mirari is very interesting. The boards are very heavy. They're a solid wood, 15 feet tall, and 3 feet wide, approximately. So they had to actually, you know, a bunch of guys had to pick it up, and they had to flip it onto the wagons. And then they pushed it from one wagon to the next until the front wagon. And then they loaded up that front wagon. Then they loaded the second wagon. There were 4 wagons that they had for the boards. And the Levi would go in between the wagons, make sure that the boards weren't falling down. And there was a whole procedure with them. But these were all the Merari guys. This is what they did.
They are strong, right? It's very strong, the Merari.
They lifted weights. That's why from 30 to 50. The Gemara says, Ben Shloshim Lekayach. And after 50, you start going down. Downhill. Okay. Vamudei Echot Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vamudei Echot Sesaviv, and the pillars of the courtyard all around. Vadim and their sockets. Veseidesim Misrehem, their pegs and their ropes. The chol klayim for all their vessels, the chol avidosam, uveshemes tifkedu, and you should point them by the names of the utensils, as klayim ishmeres masa'on. Meaning, these were given jobs, okay, each person at a specific task. And therefore, it says, Ramban writes, what is the Torah emphasizing over here? The Torah is emphasizing, because it was something were heavier than others, right? You have to make sure everybody got equal share of the weightlifting, so to speak. That it should be done in a proper way. Okay. Zeis Avedas Mishpachais B'nei Merari. This is the job of the Merari L'chol Avedasim Be'el Meid. B'yad Yisamar Ben Aaron Akein, in the hands of Yisamar. The children of Aaron HaKohen.
Why is it related to the Ben Aaron HaKohen? Because they have been...
No, Isama was in charge of it. Yisam was in charge of Gershon and Merari. And Elazar was in charge of Kohas, and he carried, remember we learned the oil and the Kstam and the Ketiris and all that Elazar carried. Okay, now it says like this, V'yivkin Meisha, V'adin Nasiya Eidah, Meisha and Aaron, the leaders of the Jewish people, counted as B'nei HaKosim L'mishpachesim L'veis HaVeisam. Okay, until now the Torah is telling them what to do, how to count and what the jobs were. Now the Torah says they actually counted. Moshe and Aaron counted. Miben Shleishim Shana v'Amayla v'Aben Chamishim Shana from the age of 30 to 50. Kol Abol Atzava, whoever came to work. And like we learned before, this is actually God's army. There's God's army that fought wars. That was from the age of 20 to 60. 50. God's army, no, is when they fought the battles of 60, 20 to 60. But when it came to the God's army in the Mishkan, that was from 30 to 50. Okay, Vayupin Kudem le Mishpachesam. How many were there from Kohas? Alpayim Shva Me'ez V'chamishim. 2,750. Okay? Ele pekude mishpachei sa kohasi, this is the numbers of kohasi, kol ha'evi be'almeid, whoever worked in the almeid, asher paka meshe v'adin, that meshe and Aaron counted, al pi Hashem b'yad meshe, based on what Hashem told meshe to do. There's a very interesting thing over here. If you look in this pasuk, it says like this, alpayim shva me'ez v'chamishim, 2,750. Normally, the Torah says the words, Alpayim Ushva Meyers with a Vav. If you look a few psukim down, look in Pasik Memhei, says Shleisha Salafim Umasayim. In the next Pasik, in Pasik Memches, going down the page, Shmeina Salafim Vachamesh Meyers Vishivim. There's a Vav missing here. It should have said Alpayim Ushva Me'ez V'chamishim, like the Torah does by the other two places. So the Rechaim HaKadosh asks, why is the Vav missing here? He says, because Korach came from Kohos. And a lot of the Korach gang died. They were punished, and they died in the because when they fought against Moshe Rabbeinu. So because they were missing, the Torah took away a Vav. As if to show that a lot of them are going to be dying. So it's not Vav means and, additional. He took away the Vav to show that these people are going to be dying because Hashem knew that they're going to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, he leaves out the Vav. Okay, could they be Geshen, the Mishpaisim, now, the first he counted, Kos now Geshen. Bivanchleishim Shana Vamadva, Bechamishim Shana from 30 to 50, Kalabala Tzavah, whoever comes to the army of Hashem, to serve in the Ilmaid. What was their number? Alpayim, the Sheish Me'esu Shleishim. 2,000, and again, the Vav, 630. These are the people, the counting of Gershon. Asher Pakad Meshiv Aaron and Api Hashem, the Meshiv Aaron counted based on Hashem's commandment. Upkudem Mishbuchais B'nei Merari L'Mishbuchaisam. What was Merari's count? Levesa, Vesim, Yan Shleishim Shonav, Amalav, Mechamishim Shonav, from 30 to 50, Kolabol Atzova, to serve in the Ilmaid, Vayipu Kudem, the Mishpachesam, Shleisha Salafim, Umasayim, 3,200. So basically like this, Kohas had 2,750, right? He, Gershon had 2,630, and he had 2,200. So Murray was the least. Huh?
3,200. You said
3,200. I'm sorry, 3,200. No, so they had more than the most. Sorry. Yeah, it's my math is not too good. He had 2,750, he had 2,630, and he had, you're right, 3,200. Not 22, 3,200.
Right.
No, I wasn't. They said 2,200.
The second time.
Okay. Ele mishpuches b'nei merari yasher pakad meshev adin al pi Hashem b'yad meshev. Now, as we learned also, don't forget, the Levium had much, 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 much less people than all the other Jews. The other Jews had 74,000, 58,000, 60-something thousand. All together over here, between 30 and 50, was basically 8,000 people. That was it. 3,200, 2,600, 2,750, it was like 8,000 people. because he didn't have the brach of multiplying like all the other Jews did, the six of the shot. Okay, kol ha'pkudim ha'shepokam ha'shev ha'arun si yisos ha'alvim mishpuchesim ha'isaveisam, all of the counting that Moshe Rabbeinu did together with them, miben shleishim shana v'mayla ben chamishim shana, from 30 to 50, kol ha'bal la'aved ha'avedus 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 ma'atza ba'almeid. If you know, the Torah is repeating itself a lot over here, and the Mefarshim explained, because this was such an important thing by Hashem, the work of the Leviim and the Beis HaMikdash and all that, so the Torah repeats over and over. Really, the Torah could have knocked it off in much fewer psukim. Okay, v'yipukudeyam, how many Leviim altogether worked in the Mishkan? Shmeinis alofim v'chamei shmeis u'shmeinim. 8,580. 8,580 was the sum total of all the Leviim, which is, by the way, a lot. 8,580 Leviim worked in the Mishkan. They all didn't work at the same time. And the Midbar, they had not, people didn't sin that much in the Midbar, so they didn't have a lot of sin offerings. A few communal sacrifices here and there. But don't forget, there are only three Koyanim. The Leviim primarily sang in the Beis HaMikdash, helped, carried, you know, when they needed to carry, and that's it. See, later on, what did I'm going to say? David HaMelech and Shmuel and David HaMelech divided the Leviim and Koyanim into 24 families. But here, I don't remember if the Rambam says four or six families, probably four. They're all divided into four groups, and that they divided it up. Later on in Beis HaMikdash, there were much more Kohen and much more Leviim. So they had 24 families. Each family worked a week. Okay, so each family in the Beis HaMikdash ended up working
two times
a year, because it's 48. And then Yom Tov, everybody worked. So basically, the Kohanim and Leviim in the Beis HaMikdash, later on, not now, later on in the Beis HaMikdash, ended up working like twice, two weeks a year. So they didn't, whatever. The rest of the time they learned, whatever. Played hockey, I don't know, whatever they did. Okay, Al-Pi Hashem Pakareisim Yamesha Pesach, what Hashem told them to do, they all did. Ishi Shalvadosi V'amasoi, every person is working his job, with Kudov and the counting, as Hashem commanded them. Now the Medrash says an interesting thing over here. Why did Hashem add up the sum total? I mean, we know already, any, take a calculator, in those days they use their brains. Today nobody uses brains. Take 2750 and 33, you know, it's no big deal to add it up. It's three numbers to add up. Why does the Targum again say the sum total of all the people? The Medrash says that to teach that they were all equally beloved by God. It does, once you have the sum total of Leviim, there was no difference between Gershon and Merari and Kohath. Now God says, your family, this family, everybody's big machers, big knackers. Bottom line is, you're all the same. You're all loved by God. Because each person, when they do their job that needs to be done, they're all equally loved by God. You could have a better job, a less job, more prominent, less prominent. Bottom line, that Hashem's teaching us over here, they're all equal. And therefore, he says, he adds them up, enjoying the large total of his treasures. And this is a remarkable concept, by the way. God says, you could be rich, you could be poor, you could be smart, you could be not so smart, you could be this, you could be that. Bottom line is, God says, everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. Nobody's counted more than one, and nobody's counted less than one. Moshe Rabbeinu did not count for two, Moshe Rabbeinu counted for one. And the lowest Jew was not less than one. And this is what Hashem's counting again to show us that every Jew is really the same no matter what you do.